Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. A Purposeful Life is an inspirational memoir detailing the author, Egitu Wodajo's life and extraordinary accomplishments, from her upbringing in Ethiopia in the 60s to her immigration to the United States along with her children, traveling the world, and her commitment to the empowerment of women while raising five well-accomplished children as a single mom. She has more than 30 years of extensive experience in the areas of women empowerment, healthcare, community economic development, and social policy. She holds multiple degrees, including diplomas in community nursing, and as a pediatric nurse practitioner from colleges in Ethiopia, a Bachelor of Arts in Human Services from Metropolitan State University, an Executive Master of Public Affairs from the Humphrey School of Public Affairs, University of Minnesota, as a Bush Leadership Fellow, and a PhD in Christian Leadership from the Christian Leadership University. She now resides in Atlanta, Georgia, where she spends her time writing and serving on a nonprofit board as president. Dr. Egitu Wodajo, author of The Purposeful Life, is our guest on This Week in America. Doctor, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I gave a little bit of the background there. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
I am coming from a small rural town in western Ethiopia. And during in the 1960s, girls' education was not common in Ethiopia, but my father purchased the property adjacent to the Swedish mission school and church, and I was able to go to school. The high school was far from us, so I had to travel by muleback and on foot 85 kilometers to join high school. And I got here from there by, I can't say by miracle.
That's just an amazing background. And it's interesting, in Ethiopia, education's not that common. And what the illiteracy rate was 95%, you really had a lot to overcome. How did you get through all that? The transportation, the mule that you had to take to school, the success that you've had, the doctorate degree, the success you've had as a parent. What kept you going? Because it would have been pretty easy to say, I can just quit here. I don't even have to go to school. Nobody else is. What gave you that drive?
The drive comes from the purpose God has for me, had for me. After I completed eighth grade at the Swedish Mission School, I had to travel, like I mentioned earlier, on muleback and by foot, on foot and by muleback to attend high school. And life was, I went through many tribulations and difficulties in high school and also even at my at the Swedish Mission School. And then my story is fully in my book. Then I got the chance to join Public Health College in Northern Ethiopia in Gondar and graduated as a community nurse. And then I joined the Swedish missionaries to work as a nurse and life went on and I got married and the story is long. So you readers have to read it from my book. It's a long journey, and I'm going to mention in the chapters of the books, too, going forward. So
yes, let me...
I came to the United States with God's plan for me. When I was going through a difficult marriage, the unsalvageable marriage, I took 3 days fasting and prayer, asking God what the end of my marriage would be. Then he showed me in a dream on the second day. He showed me in a dream that I'll be traveling to America, moving to America with my children through Nairobi. What amazed me is it took 8-9 years to for that to happen. But my flight was routed through Nairobi, because Alitalia was the cheapest I could get. So it was routed through Nairobi, like I saw in my dream. And actually, one guard spoke to me that I am moving to the United States. I secured family scholarship from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, but that was not God's will. We had 4 months left to join Moody Bible Institute for me to join Bible, Moody Bible Institute. Before that, we were invited to my sister's wedding, and the American Embassy gave visa to all my children for the ones that had involvement in the wedding were my two young ones, as a ring boy, a ring bearer, and flower girl. And the three said, "How about me? How about me?" So I applied for their visas too. I didn't know that the embassy would give them, but the U.S. embassy, it was one of my donors for my nonprofit in Addis Ababa, so they knew me very well and they trusted me and they gave me a visa. But really, that day I couldn't even sleep because I didn't want to travel with the rest three because we had only 4 months left. But that was God's plan for me to settle in Minnesota. And he even arranged that before we traveled, for that, before we traveled. I hosted an American woman whom I didn't even know for 6 weeks. And when we came to Minnesota in my house in Addis Ababa, we gave her our master bedroom with a private bath, so she shouldn't share bathroom with my children. And then when we came to Minnesota, she left her house for us and she hosted us like a royalty.
Amazing.
So that was God's plan, you know. I hosted a stranger I didn't know, and she paid her it hundredfold.
It's amazing how everything unfolds. In the book is A Purposeful Life, and you'll find that whole story written by our guest on the program, Dr. Egitu Wodojo, and I'm going to spell that. I'll give you her website. It's AGITUWODAGL. And you can link by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Our website is agitu-counseling.com. I'll give you that a couple times throughout the program. And of course, it's on our website, the title of the book, A Purposeful Life. I would like to take some time and, Doctor, if you will, go through maybe the chapters of the book and just give us a brief summary of each of the chapters, because it really is the progression. It tells your story. Here is a story of overcoming so many odds throughout your life and following God's plan. The name of the book is A Purposeful Life. Doctor, if you will, start us off with the beginning and walk us through some of the chapters of your book, please.
It has 11 chapters. Chapter one is titled My Humble Beginning. It begins with describing the strong Christian foundation that has shaped my life since my early childhood, and the big role the Swedish missionaries had in that. The Swedish mission school I attended provided me with spiritual growth and high quality Western style education in my early life. And then it goes on describing how the subtitles on how I went, what the stage I went through to get to college. And chapter two, Sweet and Sour, titled Sweet and Sour, it describes the opportunities and the difficulties that went side by side in my early marriage years. The opportunities include God's presence, miracles, divine healing, and Western middle class lifestyle. And chapter three is the refining journey. It discusses the incredible tribulations I went through in my career and my marriage, and God's presence through it all. God was speaking to me and guiding me and helping me go through it because He wanted me to serve him by life and word,
Yes.
by life example. So chapter 4 is endurance rewards. It describes my gains from enduring my unsalvageable marriage after my church advised me to get a divorce. And my main rewards are my two amazing children that I got out of that stay, obeying God's guidance. And chapter 5 is titled Heeding the Call While Going Through Fire. So God called me to serve him while I was being grilled in my career and my marriage. And when he called me to serve him, I thought it's just serving God is just doing spiritual things. So I joined a choir and started singing in a choir. But God kept on telling me to go one step forward. And finally, I took again a 3-day fasting and prayer, and he showed me to serve displaced women who were displaced during the famine in Ethiopia in 1973, and were living in a temporary shelter in Ethiopia in a very harsh situation. So I started a non-governmental organization named the Women's Self-Reliance Association. And this organization provided these women with income generating skills and marketing management and marketing skills as well. The income generating skills included leather work, like leather crafts, making sandal shoes, ladies' bags, keychains, all those leather products. And then the sewing group also learned to produce garments, and the food processing group. I had 55 women as for the first round.
Amazing.
So that organization helped that way, and it became soon became a best practice model for the United Nations and the international organizations in Addis Ababa. And a high-ranking UN official visited the organization in its early stage. And she had me visit Ministry of Women's Affairs and Social Promotion in Niger, Niamey. And this happened just 4 months before the new government took over in 1991. Then when the new government came to power, I lobbied God spoke to me to lobby the Prime Minister, the then Prime Minister of the Transitional Government, Ato Tambratlane, to establish a Ministry of Women's Affairs. And at that time, they didn't know what to do with the Socialist Revolutionary Women's Association, and it happened to be a piece of cake for them. So the Ministry of Women's Affairs was established, and I was one of the 15 women who drafted the national policy on Ethiopian women.
You know, it's
And chapter
amazing.
6 is the long-awaited answer on its way. This one discusses how we came to the United States and how we settled in South Minneapolis. And chapter 7 is my second humble beginning. I can say it was even worse than the first humble beginning, because we used to live in a wealthy neighborhood in Addis Ababa, in light in front of the airport. And we had a villa residence, made from bricks. We had cars and all those. And when we settled in South Minneapolis, we had nothing, zero. And that was very devastating. But because God said it, it made it possible that my children, who didn't even know how to make their beds in Addis Ababa, worked hard, all worked hard, and they turned to be the receiving presidential award in high school, and they did very well. And also, I started a nonprofit organization called International Self-Reliance for Agency for Women, that helped immigrant women from so many countries in the world the same way the Women's Self-Reliance Association did in Addis Ababa.
Yes.
And chapter 9 is making a difference is in America is different. Here I show how different it is in this country. Really, I bless America a lot because in my country, I was persecuted for serving my own people, their own people. But here, the American system encouraged me and for the work I did for others, not even for their own citizens, but for strangers, for immigrants. So here I describe the differences between making a difference in America, how different it is from Ethiopia. And, you know, I was encouraged up to helping policy changes, changing policies and all that. So chapter 9 is the second refining journey. This describes the adoption agency I took against outside God's will and guidance without discerning God's will, and it sent me through file. But the good thing came out of this is that it was the jolt I needed to start writing a book, because writing this book was a call from God for me in the early 1980s to evangelists who watched my life going through difficulties in my marriage and my career, encouraged me to write a book, my story, telling me that I am a gospel and my life example can touch many lives and make a difference. I didn't say in my book that I'm a gospel though. But I totally forgot about it. And this refining journey, the second one, the tribulations I went through awakened me up to start writing. So I started writing my first book, or is titled The Secret to Finishing Well, Quest for Authentic Leadership. The problem I faced involves the lack of good governance in Ethiopia too. So that's it. Chapter 10 is raising successful children as a single mom.
Yes.
This one in Ethiopia, when I went through those difficulties, I hide everything from my children. So I had four reasons to hide the difficulties I was going through. Number one, I felt that they will be thinking that God is not just and maybe against the faith. Number two, they will be demoralized if they hear what their father did. And number three, I didn't want them to live with their dad hating their dad. And number four, I hide my tribulations from my kids, and in the book you will find how I raised them in a godly way from their early childhood, starting from Ethiopia. And my oldest son said when I started controlling him when he started going out with wrong kids, he goes, "Mom, why do you worry? We grew up with the word of God being gluttoned to us." into us. So even if we try to be like others, we cannot do that. So that's how they were raised. And now they are very successful. Payment-wise, they are in the six digits. And strong in their Christian faith too. And chapter 11 is... it was all purpose-driven.
Yes.
So it sums up the purpose of God for me, for going through what I went through. He had a purpose. And so maybe you're going to ask me what readers will get out of my book. I might answer that, but especially on in marriage, the purpose of God for me is he helped me. I believe he helped me to go beyond the to cross the biblical marriage red lines and stay in the unendurable and intolerable marriage to show others what works in marriage and what doesn't work.
The book is just a remarkable story of the journey of our guest on the program, Dr. Egitu Wodojo, and I'm going to spell that, so if you're Googling it, Egitu is Agitu Wodojo, Wodajo. Her website is agitucounseling.com, and that's agitu-counseling.com. All of this,
Agitu Dash Consulting.
yes. Dot com.
Consulting.com.
Yep, and all that is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You just go there, click it on, it'll take you directly to Dr. Egitu's website, and you can get information there on all of the books. I know before we close and talk about the impact you want this to have on people, you have a song, a verse that you would like to sing us, something that's very special to you, that's been with you from childhood. It's been sort of a guiding point, a guiding star for you throughout your life. Share that story, and then, if you will, share that verse with us.
I wanted to sing the verse. You know, the quality of education I received by the Swedish mission in that in the 60s, in the 50s actually, beginning in the 50s. The English language itself, it's like it's my Amharic, the national, the Ethiopian official language is my second language, like English. So she taught us, our music teacher taught us. She taught me that I wanted to sing the Black American song she taught us. I remember most of the hymns by heart. So, gone are the days when my heart was young and gay. Gone are my friends from the cotton fields away. Gone from the years to a better land I know. I hear those gentle voices calling, Old Black Joe. I'm coming, for my head is bending low. I hear those gentle voices calling, Old Black Joe.
Beautifully done, and amazing the memory and the impact the teachers and that song had on you in shaping your life, and what a remarkable life it's been. The book is A Purposeful Life. What do you hope the reader takes away? There's so many elements in that book that we could take note as we're reading the book, things that you've gone through, how you've rebounded from that, how you followed the calling, the word of God. What do you hope the takeaway is from people who read the book?
They will really get the whole entire world from that book without exaggeration. But I jotted down 7 points, very short points. Number one, it will inspire readers in every area of life. And number two, it reveals to them the power of faith, optimism, and perseverance. Number three, it gives the tools to touch lives and make a positive difference. Number four, I believe God allowed that I cross the biblical marriage red lines to serve as an experiment and show readers what works and what doesn't work in marriage. Number five, it shares wisdom on how to prevent marriage problems from filtering down to children in the marriage and raise them with clean mind and heart as godly children. Number six, it shows readers how to take advantage of adversities and turn them into opportunities. Number seven, by setting a scene It takes readers on a global tour to those all countries I visited and where I grew up.
There's something for everybody, as Asha was going through all of the points of that she hopes are takeaways for all of us. There's something there for everybody that impacts all of our lives, as she has done. She mentioned some of the non-governmental organizations that she's been involved in that have literally changed lives, continue to change lives. Her 30 years of extensive experience in areas of women's empowerment, healthcare, community economic development, social policy, and parenting, all of that that she's done so successfully. Our guest on the program is Dr. Agitu Wodajo, and that's AGITUWODAJO. Her website, Agitu, AGITU-counseling.com. All this on our website. I thank Christian Works Media for arranging our conversation today. Dr. Agitu, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can continue this conversation. So much you've done in your life. What an impressive life you have, a purposeful life that you've led, continue to lead. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program.
Thank you for having me.
It has been our pleasure. And once again, her website, Agitu, A-G-I-T-U, -counseling.com and AGITU, Dr. Agitu Wodajo. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program.
And my book on Amazon too, Amazon.
Oh, yes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all of the usual places. And you'll find, again, a link for Amazon on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available wherever books are sold, A Purposeful Life. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.